Let us pray together. God, we know we are imperfect and we are in need of your divine direction. Open our hearts and minds to your words this morning and help us to discern your will and to follow it faithfully. We praise you and we give you thanks for being here with us on these holy grounds this morning. Amen. So I'm continuing in Revelation. And we're going to be talking about the Church of Smyrna, which was called the Glory of Asia. The town of Smyrna was called the Glory of Asia. It was a beautiful city, and it had become the center of learning. So there was learning, and then there was building, and there was lots going on. Like Ephesus, Smyrna was the center of trade, especially the trade of wine. Before the time of Jesus, until now, Smyrna had remained a flourishing city. Today, the city is called Izmir. And even though at the time of receiving this letter, the worship of pagan gods was slowing down there, there still was a great worship of the Roman Emperor. But this was a forced worship. It had become the norm to demand that the people there would worship the living Roman emperors. Author Ray Stedman shared that the Church of Smyrna had been pierced and crushed and often afflicted. The Roman Emperor Domitian was the emperor who banished John to the island of Patmos, and he demanded his own title of being called Lord. At that time, the Roman citizens were made to burn incense on an altar to the godhead of Caesar once a year. They were told they were to worship Caesar or they would be put in jail and punished. As I read through part of Revelation this morning, you're going to hear that the memory of death and resurrection is recognized throughout this letter from John to Smyrna. The word Smyrna actually comes from the word myrrh, which is a sweet-smelling perfume used to embalm bodies. So as we turn to the word, we'll be looking at Revelation 2, starting at verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, and this is the angel Jesus giving words to John to record. These are the words of him who was the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, and yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Revelation 2:8, the second part of that, verse 8 says, there are the words of him who is the first and the last and who died and came to life again. The first and the last, a title that only belongs to the Lord. He is our risen Lord. He is victorious over death. The believers in Smyrna were to serve our risen Lord. And yet they were being forced to go to the synagogue and to light incense or be put in prison. Jesus knew and shared in the letter about the people's poverty in Smyrna. For an amazingly prosperous city, the Christians were very poor people. There was an oppression and a persecution for this early church. Have you been hearing more words of persecution to people who go to church? Those church people say, those church people believe, with negative connotations. Many believers in Smyrna could not keep a job because of their Christian faith and their abject poverty that ensued. There were also hostile communities of Jews at that time that made being a Christian very difficult. And Jesus related to their hardships because he himself had experienced them, so he knew everything that they were going through. Jesus had not forgotten and never will forget the afflictions placed upon his followers. The church at that time was to continue to be nurturing, rich, and loving families, no matter how cruel its surroundings would become. It seemed that the church was slowly being squeezed out. They were pierced, they were crushed, and they were afflicted. The Christians who took part in communion together, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, were accused of being cannibals, and the slandering only continued to grow. And the word was shared, and the word was shared, and the negative words were shared. And yet, yes, Jesus was sharing, "You are rich." When I was typing this up, I thought of Oprah saying, "And you in a car, and you in a car, and you in a car." And Jesus is saying, "You are rich." I'd rather be rich than own a car, right? They were a rich, poor church. And when Jesus calls you rich, you are. His assessment of us is so much more real than our own assessment. His assessment of us is so much more real than what others think of us. Why do we worry about what others think and what others say? That's why we want to hang around other Christians, because when they repeat things, it won't be untruths or hurtful things. But yet we worry about what others might think. True riches are within the heart that is filled with God's love. I read this: there's nothing wrong with having money. The trouble is that money so easily has us. I'm going to keep up with the Joneses, right? How do we get rid of that? Riches will not make you happy. One of John's disciples, Polycarp, and I'll talk about him later on, he was a bishop at the church of Smyrna. And he had learned all that he had learned under John's sharing. And it was thought that Smyrna was rich in leadership, because they had Polycarp, who stayed true to his faith. Those who remained faithful to Christ until death were promised a crown of life. Polycarp will remain faithful his whole life. Those with the crown of life will not die the second death. They will reside in heaven in paradise with Jesus. Theologian Barclay wrote, "For a man to become a Christian anywhere was to become an outlaw at this time. In Smyrna, above all places, for a man to enter the Christian church was literally to take his life in his hands. In Smyrna, the church was a place for heroes. Tribulation, suffering, these things were promised." That doesn't feel very comfortable, does it? Believers would be tested and thrown in jail and suffer greatly. And Jesus wanted them to be prepared to deal with the works of the devil. Jesus wanted the Christians to stop being afraid. I think that would have been very hard. But he encouraged them. He encouraged them to be ready for what will come. His words were, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." Are we ready? Are we secure in our faith? Jesus let the people know that their imprisonment, their tribulation, their experiences that caused distress would only last 10 days. Well, usually, at that time, to be thrown in jail meant trial and execution. Theologian Barclay shared that Christians knew that they were taking their lives into their own hands when they entered the church. It is not sure if 10 days meant 10 days, or if 10 prophetic, or if it meant 10 prophetic days, which means 10 years, or perhaps the time of reign of 10 future Roman emperors. So the true length of time is not known. And then also there is a Greek expression that 10 days means a short time. But there will be a time limit placed on suffering. It will not continue. Time heals, right? And if you have God in your heart, it helps to move you along. In 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith or greater worth are of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God uses suffering to purify the believer. Romans 8, verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Suffering is allowed to make us more like Jesus and to become true witnesses to him. The Lord allowed this testing, and the believers were warned that the worst was yet to come. I look at my own life. I look at my children being ill. I look at having to go through a divorce. And then those two things got me to move next to a neighbor who would then invite me to Deep Run East. And then from Deep Run East, I was able to take classes and become a pastor and be here. But when I was going through my children's illnesses and going through the divorce and moving, it was not easy. But I held on to God. I had no idea what the future held. But he promised to walk with me and to be with me, and he is with me. Jesus shares that his followers should rely on the grace and strength of God always. God sets limits on suffering. The Bishop Polycarp was a faithful follower and a bishop of the church who would die as a martyr in his old age. He was in his 80s. He was taught by John, and he grew closer to God throughout his life. Through all of the suffering that he had gone through, being persecuted because he was a Christian, the soldiers looking for him because he was one of John's students, he knew that God would provide a way. And so he kept a positive attitude, relying on God. And upon returning to Rome one time, he had found out that they were really searching for him, and so he chose to hide at a local farm. And at that farm, he had a dream and his pillow burst into flames, and so he knew that he would die by flames. His friends were captured, and they were beaten so badly that finally one of them told where he was hiding. They went and they got him. And the soldiers gave him opportunities to praise Caesar. But each time, Polycarp said no. And then he was taken to the arena. And this is what they did. They would take them to arenas and they would let the lions come and eat them, these Christians, or they would burn them at the stake. And the people were crying, "Away with the atheists who did not worship our gods." To them, Christians were atheists. Polycarp would be burned at the stake. But as the flames shot up, they shot up around him, and they were not burning him. God had provided a hedge of protection. But an executioner who was so angry at this whole ordeal picked up a spear and stabbed Polycarp to death. And those who were there have shared the story, and it has been written that they saw the white dove fly up from the flames into the heavens from where Polycarp was. Polycarp had maintained his faith every day of his life, and he is now in the most perfect paradise. The Smyrna church, when compared to the other six churches that received letters from Jesus, never had evil spoken against it. Even with much of the Roman and Muslim persecution going on, the church still exists to this day. The Smyrna Christians did not conform to its surroundings. That's our lesson, right? What's going on out there is going on out there. We need to be here. We need to be with God. We need to be enlightened and encouraged by his word. Jesus did not rebuke the Christians of Smyrna. He shared words of encouragement. "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." The promise of a crown is very meaningful. There is a sense of Jesus and his bride, each of his followers, wearing a crown. The crown being referred to as the crown of life. The blessing of living a joyful eternal life in heaven is promised to all of his followers. This is the quote. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to us. You know, the day of martyrs is not over, and Christians face persecution all over the world. I believe if we have Eloise's friend come and share, we will hear some pretty horrible stories about what's going on. Revelations 2:11b says, "He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Okay, so an overcomer shall not be hurt by the second death. An overcomer is someone who has victory over sin and the challenges of the world through their faith in Jesus Christ. Overcomers resist the power and temptations of the worldly system. Overcomers live their faith out loud. I know a few years ago there was a movie made of a Mennonite that was in the war. But he made a promise to Jesus that he would read the Bible and share God's word and bandage the wounded and take care of others. And in the movie, he actually was running out on a field that where men were being shot and picking them up and getting them back to safety and back and forth and back and forth and being shot upon the whole time. His faith, living it out loud, led to him rescuing soldiers that had been shot. Overcomers will never be hurt by the second death. In Revelation 20, when we get to Revelation 20, we're going to be reading about a hellish lake of fire where those who are not saved will spend their eternal death. Believers will be resurrected to an eternal life with God and will not have to suffer that second death. We are to draw nearer and nearer to God and recognize the wonderful and mighty power in his word. I pray that you're getting a better understanding of Revelation. It's truly written for us. It seems to be written for us at this time. Jesus always provides a way in this, his Father's world. May you fill your heart with God's words. You are a living, breathing, loving, caring overcomer. I am blessed to be your pastor. The Spirit moves among us. Listen and learn from his words. Be faithful, filled, and faithful. Rejoice in the promise that we will have eternal life in heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful that you reward those who remain faithful to you until the end. Blessed is the man and woman who remains steadfast under trials. Lord, be with us during those times. For when we stand the test, we receive the crown of life. We know that you have promised this crown of life to those who love you. Father God, we ask that you watch over Ty this week, Pastor Kent this week, Ellen and May, Tony, and Brian, and all those who just need that little bit of extra love this week. May the strength of God sustain us all. May the hands of God protect us all. May the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forevermore. In your precious name, amen.